You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter. Today's guest is Dr. Jeff Bunce.
Start. Good morning. This is Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. I am your host, John Easter. Good morning. This is the first episode here of Voices of the West Side. And by the way, just like Emerson used to say on School Talk, you can always give us a call at 317-244-9234 if you want to talk to us and if you want to let us know what you think about the show. Occasionally, we will take calls as well. When we have that going, but if you want to tell us what you think about the show, if you have any ideas, give us a call at 317-244-9234. We'll talk more about that later. In May, School Talk with Emerson left the airwaves after a successful 21-season run. So Emerson Allen, who created and broadcast that show, much like this one, we hope will be, he did that for 21 years, so we hope to carry on the great tradition of what he started here with this show, Voices of the West Side. But we can't have School Talk without Emerson. That's what we decided. You can have School Talk, you can have Emerson, but you cannot have School Talk without Emerson. So that's why we decided to change the title of this show. Hopefully I will not be the permanent host. Hopefully we'll be handing this off to some of our students, which we'll get to our producer here in just a moment. But one thing that was a hallmark of the old program was that we always talked about school and community issues. And, you know, we would have people from all over the West Side, all over the city of Indianapolis, movers and shakers, as Emerson always used to say, muckety mucks. It's in the dictionary. We always used to have so many people like that. So it's our hope that we continue that here on Voices of the West Side. And of course, another thing that was a hallmark and one of those things that first time we sat down to talk about School Talk was a student producer. A student must always be involved. So we have our student producer here.
Hello.
Mr. Kieran Sandulo.
Hello.
Introduce yourself, Kieran.
Hello, I'm Kieran Sandulo. I'm a second year here at WBDG's broadcasting here. I've been pretty excited to start producing for this. Unfortunately, I just was not ready this morning.
none of us are. You know, it's like the first thing you get going in the first show, and so that's okay.
Yep.
But we're here now and we're rolling. So you know, it's just like radio, man. It's gonna happen. You know, it's live and we're ready to go. So one thing we always used to do, and you may not be ready for this, but there's a little button over there on the board, on the soundboard that says the big board.
Yes.
So what we used to do on School Talk is our student producer would always read the big board. So we're going to keep that tradition. So if you could, go ahead and hit that.
The big board.
And then you get to read what's on the big board, which was written very quickly last night. So
all right.
Maybe missing some details. Well, I know the Gateway Gallup is something we'll probably talk about this morning. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. Well, just go through from the dates, chronological order, I guess.
Yes, fine. However you want to do it.
All right. Well, August 3rd, we have the Gateway Gallup 5K. I don't know anything about that.
8 a.m.? Is that what it starts?
8 a.m.
Dr. Butts, by the way.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Yeah, 8 a.m. That starts right here at Ben Davis High School in the front of the building. That is to support the B&O Trail, actually all of the trails, Vandalia, White Lick, and the B&O. And, in fact, really exciting because of the past years, the fundraising that has happened because of the Gateway Gallup, the B&O Trail should be within the next 12 months connecting both Hendricks County and Speedway, the trail, the B&O trails in both of those. So from Raceway all the way to Speedway, we should be able to have trails now from downtown Indianapolis all the way out past Brownsburg with the extension, and hopefully at some point all the way to the Illinois state line.
Ooh, that'd be a long walk.
Very long walk.
I ride my bike down the B&O, and it takes me a couple hours to get home once I get further down.
From Raceway out to the end right now, it's 16.3 miles if you go out and back.
All right.
Have you done it the whole way?
I have. Every Saturday.
Yep.
All right. We got trying to figure out, is it just football cathedral at Ben Davis?
Yeah, the football, the start of the football season coming up, Ben Davis and Cathedral.
Gotcha.
Coming up on August 23rd.
August 23rd is also senior night. It's going to be lots going on. We're going to recognize our veterans. Always, we do that at the first home game. It will be our senior night, so make sure to come out. And we have something extra special planned to kick off the game, so make sure to pop out for that first game, August the 23rd, and you get to see the brand new track that is just being finished right now. That track has been here for now, 15, 16 years. We've been really fortunate, so we were able to refurbish that a little bit for the IHSAA State Championship, which was held here during the pandemic, the only time I think it's been held outside of IU in probably 20, 25 years, but Ben Davis hosted that, and we were able to refurbish that a little bit. But brand new track you'll be able to see at the opening football game August 23rd against Cathedral.
Then we have Wayne Township Fire Community Day August 24th at Sam's Club.
Yep. And, Trustee Jeb Barden and the Wayne Township Fire Department.
Lots of great things out there. Yeah. Wayne Township will be represented. We'll have host table out there. We'll have our transportation.
Last year, car show there, too, that day, right?
The Lions Club does a car show. Gleaners was there last year handing out free food and both frozen and fresh and non-perishable items. So I don't know what they have in store. Usually there's corn on the cob. There's all kinds of games for the children. There's hot dogs, all free. So stop out. That's at Sam's Club off of 10th.
Yeah.
10th Street.
Rockville. It's called Rockville.
That's right. Yeah. Lowe's is up on 10th, and Sam's is on Rockville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, we have the Out of the Darkness Suicide Prevention Walk September 7th at Military Park.
And we will have much, much more on that. I know we have later on this month someone from the American Foundation. I think Tammy Lundy from American Foundation for Suicide Prevention will be here. I think Emerson may stop in at some point, too, because that's always something that is a big issue that he was concerned about when he was the host of School Talk. So we'll have more coming on that on September 7th. But so thank you. That was, once again,
There we go.
Got to read nonverbal cues on this show sometimes.
Yep, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you're getting there. So it's my hope that the student producer, as always, can just jump in if you have a question or anything as we welcome our guests. And you've already heard from him this morning. He is the superintendent of the MSD of Wayne Township. One thing I forgot to transfer over was the magic button. So we don't have a magic button, so we'll just do it live in studio. Dr. Jeff Butts is with us this morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I am so honored to be on this very first show. I'm not sure about movers and shakers, but certainly I was available, and so glad to be here on the Voices of the West Side.
Well, typically, I believe you are either, if not the first guest of the year, one of the first guests.
It's
because,
kind of become a tradition, hasn't it?
Yeah, because it's always, and by the way, you were on the last episode of School Talk as just about everyone in the township was. That was an awesome
finish. It was amazing.
So before we move on, I know you talked about School Talk on that final episode, but just paying a little tribute here to Emerson and School Talk. We've got his plaque here on the wall permanently as the host of School Talk. What did that show mean to Wayne Township?
You know, it became such an important part of Friday mornings. I know that staff and students alike have 90.9 turned on every morning trying to figure out what Emerson was going to do, what he was going to say, who he was going to have on, what we might learn. But certainly it was a great way for people to get ready for their Friday mornings. And just the community service that Emerson provided, not only on the show, but throughout his lifetime. And that's not going to stop just because he's not doing School Talk. But what an iconic show that it lasted for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And I know we had Dr. Dave Marcotte on here. He was the principal when that show began. And, oh, my gosh, it was just a staple. And I think, you know, the challenge that you've had to replace that slot, and I know that 5-10 years from now, people will be talking about how important this show is, maybe even 12 months from now. But you know, that those kinds of shows are irreplaceable. We certainly can put things in their place, but the work that Emerson did and the reputation that he had across this state, across this city, the people that he had on here over that period of time, just really special for not only WBDG, but for our student producer and for our entire student body who are involved here at WBDG. I know, is it Keenan?
Kieran.
Kieran. K-I-E-R-A-N.
Close. That's right. The actual, that's the real spelling. All my right. My name is spelled K-Y-R-A-N.
There we go. Now you know for our listening audience. So one of the things that people may or may not know is this is a program also associated with Area 31. There are 11 high schools here. Are you a Ben Davis student?
I'm an Avon student.
That's why I asked. Because we have students from 11 different high schools, and it's wonderful to see them all engaging together to produce the amazing content that comes out of WBDG. So really excited that you're here. You have a radio voice. That's awesome.
I've been told that before.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, why don't you give us a little thumbnail sketch about what else you do when you're not here at Area 31.
A little thumbnail sketch for you?
Yeah. You know, just let us, what's your, I know you do some other things.
Yes, I do.
That was my point.
Yeah. I do a little bit of music production on the side, freelance. I do that, I've been trying to set up like a Fiverr or something for that, but I also do a little bit of voiceover work as well, and I am in... three bands now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do voice acting, right?
Yes, voice acting is a thing for me.
Like, I know you did, like, last year you were a general or something, right? Weren't you like a general, or didn't you get cast?
I got cast in a role to play a kind of like an alien general for an army in a video game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's kind of cool.
Very small video game. I don't think it'll get too much attention, but if you somehow manage to find this obscure video game and you may hear my voice, well, good job. Good on you.
You know what's interesting with voice actors, voiceovers, I have a friend who's a recently retired superintendent in Ohio. He just by happenstance did some voiceovers for a national conference, and as a result of that, people really liked his voice. He was, I guess, discovered in that manner, and he now does voiceovers and introductions and just a variety of things with his voice nationally, outside of what he used to do as superintendent. So you never quite know who's going to be listening or where they're going to be listening and what kind of gigs you might pick up as a result.
Yep.
Even our announcers, we, you know, obviously Mr. Easter's voice is one that is recognized throughout the state with his involvement here at WBDG, and certainly when Thank we you. Hear him on the radio doing our sports broadcasts and the intros and the various things that happen here on the station. But you think about some of those iconic announcers that we hear on national sports casts and even our local favorite sports venues that we go to, whether it be down at Gainbridge or Lucas Oil or Mackey Arena or any of the others, just an amazing assembly hall, any of the opportunities that people have. And they're just regular people. Many of those, that's not their full-time job. They do that on the side because they like it and because they're good at it, and they just have been given a gift.
Yeah. I'm definitely very grateful for the fact that I was given a very prominent Adam's apple, which lets my voice be as deep as it is. Being told that I had a voice for radio is why I'm here in the first place. So thank you, Mr. Easter, for complimenting my voice when I first came here.
Yeah.
Well, many people would say I have a face for radio. So it,
you know, they tell me that, too. They tell me that. Yeah, I get that a lot. I don't know what it is.
Speaking of talent, I have to release this this morning. I've been so excited as I've been driving in because I found out about this before I went to sleep last night. I got an email about 11:15 last night, and the official announcement came out at 7:23 this morning. But congratulations to Ben Davis High School art department chair, art teacher, who was just named this morning in the top 10
of
the Indiana Department of Education 2024 Teachers of the Year across the state. He will be now in the running for the top 3 and then the top 2024 Teacher of the Year. Really excited for Mr. Allison. He was a secondary teacher of the year here in the MSD of Wayne Township this year and now has moved on to the top 10. So congratulations, Mr. Allison. If you're listening, I know that you've responded to my email already this morning, but we are rooting for you. We're excited for you, and certainly we are proud of the accomplishment that you have made and are honored that you are associated here with Ben Davis High School.
Yeah, that is awesome. I know that is something also, Mr. Allison is the latest Wayne Township teacher to be a part of the top 10. Is that our own department chair, Mr. Dennis Goins,
right,
was the runner-up a few years back.
Sarah Shannon, who's still here. Mm-hmm. There's just a number of teachers. We've been very fortunate And really, I think that speaks, Mr. Easter, to the colleagues that you have here at Ben Davis High School, the teachers that we have here in the MSD of Wayne Township. We're compiling a list now going back as many years as we can for those top 10, top 3, even top 25 teachers. And certainly, you know, adding Mr. Allison to that list is really exciting for us.
I know his mentor, Larry Hurt, was one of those
all the way back
individuals,
right?
Yeah.
I think that's, and I did think about that when this announcement came out, because, you know, sometimes you think about teachers of the year, well, must, you know, needs to be a math teacher, needs to be a science teacher, needs to be somebody in one of those core content areas. But when you think about the impact that an art teacher can make, not only relationally, but in discovering somebody's talent in a different way. And I never believed that I had artistic talent, certainly not in the kind of art that Mr. Allison teaches. And so for him to inspire students through what he does in the art classroom, and then, you know, his leadership, of course, across the district with art in all of our buildings as the district art department chair, the coordinator of Arts Alive, has just been a tremendous impact across our district, across our community.
And this is the 40th year coming up of Arts Alive this year?
I think that's right. And that was started by Larry Hurt way back when. He wanted to showcase the art here. And I will also say the SWET, and I always get that acronym wrong, but the SWET show that happens with all of our seniors you know, each year is just absolutely amazing here in the halls of Ben Davis High School.
Once again, if you're just joining us, this is Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9, the inaugural episode. I'm John Easter, joined by Dr. Jeff Butts with us this morning, the superintendent of schools. So, Dr. Butts, how was your summer?
You know, John, this was one of the busiest summers I think I can remember, and I don't know why. I've tried to put my finger on it. We just had so many things going on, so many exciting things going on. And, of course, if you drive by the campus here at Ben Davis High School, you can see some of that just evidenced by the front of the building. One of the most major reconstructions that we've had here. We've had additions probably since the building was built back and opened up in 1964. And by the way, this is our 60th year on the corner of 10th and Girls School. 60 years that the building has been here. We talk a lot, and people may or may not know this this fact, but Harmon Baldwin, who was our very first superintendent, started back in 1962. Harmon was the superintendent that brokered the land deal for where Ben Davis High School, the ninth grade center, Area 31, and now Chapel Hill 7th and 8th grade center all sit. But originally, Ben Davis High School was supposed to be built down at Morris and Girls School, where Carrier Corporation currently is. That was the initial site for the new Ben Davis High School, moving down from what used to be Ben Davis High School there at Morris and High School across the street from my office, which is now Ben Davis Junior High School, the Wayne Township Preschool, and Wayne Township Adult Education Building. But it's just really amazing to think about what has transpired on the west side over those 60 years and even further back, but especially those last 60 years when Ben Davis High School was first built on this site. So moving the offices around and tearing out the front of the building, doubling the size of the cafeteria, moving the media center upstairs, just some really exciting things that are happening. Can't wait to see it all when it's done here in about 18 months.
Yeah, it's... I've not seen the drawings or anything, but I know looking at what they're doing, it had you know, they're all the way back to the old front of Ben Davis High School.
That's right.
Which I remember when I was a student here. You know, that whole area used to be something totally different. So it's really cool to see now another reimagination. And this is the 59th year of WBDG being on the air, because we were built when that new building was constructed. It took them, you know, some time to get the station up and running.
So exciting.
But first day of live broadcasting was February 14th, 1966. There's some question.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, there's some question when you go back in the documentation that we have. It said February 7th was like a day. It was kind of like, I don't know if you remember the West Side Messenger.
Yes, right.
It was like an article from that type of publication that said they'd planned to go on February 7th, but Dana Webb, who's now on our alumni wall of fame here, he was here. He was a student the first day on WBDG, and he said it was February 14th. So,
you know, speaking of that, and I know that you'll cover this and have covered this, the number of alumni that you have across the country who are active in major media markets is just astounding. And so the talent that comes out of this program each and every year, and the individuals that continue to come back and to give back to our students and do so very willingly and excitedly to continue to build the pipeline into the radio and TV market, even with our Ben Davis television station. And so just what an honor we have across the country to be able to name some really high profile individuals who are out there in the radio market.
Yeah, Kevin Lee is one. Scott Hoke does the Mecum auctions.
That's right.
He's so interesting to talk to if you know what the Mecum auctions are.
I've heard
the
of
cars.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was fun because this was several years ago. I was down at the Indianapolis 500 and, of course, sitting there before the race, and you hear all of the different interviews going on. And we had both Dave Calabro mm-hmm. and Scott Hoke on the PA. And just, you know, gave me goosebumps because two Ben Davis alumni who are at the greatest race in the world, and both on the PA and yet Scott's now with Mecum Auto Auctions, of course, and was able to introduce one of our students from Area 31 who received a national award and at I believe in Arizona is where they were when that occurred. And just, you know, things come full circle. It's really, really exciting.
Dave's brother, Kevin Calabro. Yeah. I mean, we could sit all day and talk about that. Here locally, Kurt Darling from WIBC, a news anchor, and several others as well. But when we talk, kind of getting back to what we do here in the MSD of Wayne, you talk about the summer. You talk about some of the new things mm-hmm. that came down. One new thing, of course, that I know students especially, but also teachers are interested in is the new device policy, which... Yeah. You know, we heard you talk about that in the opening day. Yeah. Talk a little bit about the new device policy and what that's been like trying to figure out, because I know it was something that was not completely expected, and then the legislature passed it, and then mm-hmm. it was tasked to the schools to develop a policy.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is the way that bill started was much more restrictive than the way it ended in the General Assembly, and I was actually hoping that it would be completely outlawed, that device would be completely outlawed. Students were glad that it wasn't, but as I shared at opening day with our staff, which was absolutely amazing, having Jimmy McMillian from the track to give his message, and of course Mark Brown singing the national anthem, and our JROTC presenting the colors, just what a powerful day to bring everybody together. But I think the thing that I shared is I had also to acknowledge that I have a problem. My phone is attached to my hip at all times. I don't go from room to room in my house without my phone. It's the last thing I check before I go to sleep. It's the first thing I check in the morning. It's really become a problem for me as well. And so this has given me an opportunity to really reevaluate what kind of an impact my device, my supercomputer that I keep in my pocket, has on me each and every day, and how much I'm on social media, how much screen time I have, how much it distracts me from having a conversation at home, or the things that I may be doing during a meeting or interacting with people face to face. And so I think that's really the impetus of where this all began, was this idea that you can be sitting at a restaurant and see four people at a table and all four are on their phones. They're not talking to each other. They're all four on their phones. Now, they may be sending texts to each other. They may be sending social media posts to each other across the table, but they're not talking to each other at the same table. Or our children who are at the grocery store and they're in a grocery cart and they're looking at a video or some kind of something to distract them from and allowing their parents to shop and to do what they do. So that was the impetus behind the General Assembly really laying this out. And so we met with students, we met with staff, we met with parents to find out what our current culture was and to learn from our students kind of where they sat on the devices and the elimination of those devices. And in the end, we came up with basically a procedure. Our policy mimics the state law. So it is pretty generic in that it complies with the state law. But then it's our procedures really where we're going to see this come to fruition and see the implementation of it. So this is kind of a gradual release of responsibility to the students, because one of the jobs that we have as educators is to help our children, to help our students to be able to learn strategies to be successful in life, to learn strategy to be successful beyond their high school experience. And one of those is going to include having to know when it's appropriate to utilize their device in their workplace and in their personal life. And so we can't let that be the day after their graduation, right? Mm. So early on, K-8, basically the devices are gone. Devices are not out. They're not out during passing periods. They're not out during lunch. Put them away when you get to school. Get them out when you go home if that's what you want to do. When we get to the ninth grade center and then to the high school, we have a gradual release. So students will have more opportunities during passing periods, during lunch, to be able to check their device, check. And really it's to see, you know, have mom or dad sent me a message that I need to be aware of? Is there something I need to check out? One of the things that, you know, we share with families and we share with students, every student in the MSD of Wayne Township has an email address. And so a parent could email their child if they wanted them to know something, and that child would be able to get that on their device versus a text message, especially for an immediate response. So, you know, sometimes we feel like we need this, and we live in a society where we feel like we need an immediate response. It's kind of that fast food industry. If you, I don't know what your experience was growing up, Mr. Easter, but for me, I think I went to McDonald's once a month, maybe, or a couple, you know, every couple months.
It was a breakfast huge on a Saturday treat, morning,
huge
something
treat,
like that.
Right? My dad would pull up and order, you know, there'd be a car full of boys, and we'd be coming from practice. My dad would order like 20 cheeseburgers and 10 fries, and, you know, we'd all eat in the back of the station wagon without our seatbelts on and, you know, sitting backwards and all of the things that we can't do today. But it was a different society. We didn't have drive-thrus, you know, multiple drive-thrus at every corner, and it wasn't that kind of a society. But today we're in a fast food society. We're in a society where we want things done now. We want it immediate, and so when we text somebody, we want that immediate response. And we also run into a challenge from a mental health standpoint. Everybody's life is perfect on social media. Nobody posts the horrible things that are happening, right? We post how great our meal is. We post how great our relationship is. We post how great the vacation is that we're taking. We don't post some of the negative things that are happening to us. And so it's hard to live up to a lot of those posts that are being made on social media where everybody looks like everything's great. Everything's perfect. And so this hopefully will lead to more of that. We always have the opportunity to tweak it. So we've introduced it. We're in the first week of the new procedures. If we need to make some changes, we will.
And, you know, as a classroom teacher, I think it's going pretty well. I really do. I think the students understand. I don't know where Kieran would stand on this as being a student. I don't know what Avon's policy is now.
Our policy's fairly similar. We have we're not allowed to have it in actual class time, but we are allowed to have it in during lunch period and passing periods. We are allowed to have access to them. Study hall is different as well. Every classroom has its own cell phone policy. The gist of it is try to keep the kids off their phones.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's not. It is much more open-ended, I would say, Avon, because most of the Avon issue is not with phones. There are a lot of other issues that are arguably a little bit more pressing at Avon, but the main policy is keep the students off their phones during direct instruction time, but if they are on their own and expected to do their own work, that's their responsibility. They can use their phones if they feel like they need to use their phones, and if they don't get their work done, that's on them.
Yeah,
and I believe that was the intent of the law, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say a 16, 17, 18-year-old should be able to manage that, and that's one of our tasks is to help to guide that that management of that device. The other thing that, you know, is important, and you know, I think you alluded to it, was this idea of setting up fights and setting up meetups and those kinds of things where, you know, it's ironic that when you have an event that goes on like that, a scuffle in the hallway, that all of a sudden everybody films it from the very beginning. That used to be a surprise for me when there was a scuffle, but now it's all set up and we're ready to film it all and post it on the fights pages.
I've seen a few of them that were pretty like set up, like this was a planned thing, but a lot of them do happen spontaneously. But the reason that they happen is because a lot of the incoming freshmen and the sophomores, the freshmen from last year, were a lot more easily angered.
Sure. Yeah.
Which was a weird thing that I noticed, but I saw two or three fights that started and went for like a good 5 or 6 minutes because someone bumped into somebody on accident.
Well, you know, people are elevated for sure. And I think that leads us to one of the things that's coming up. Our General Assembly has wanting to do a study on classroom management, classroom behavior, and school discipline. And so we're going to see some data coming out, and I think probably some legislation this upcoming session that will look at how we're disciplining students, what those, you know, what tools teachers have, the consequences maybe, and the results of those consequences for students. We know that when students are not in school, they're not learning. And when they're not in school, they also are in unstructured time. Many times their parents are not home because they have responsibilities and are working, and leads certainly to some open opportunities for students to get into trouble outside of those school hours. We also have implemented this year chronic absenteeism, chronic truancy, and so that's something that we're working on this year to try to include as well as we look at helping students to be in school. One other thing, and I know our time is getting short, but one other thing that I want for our audience to just be aware of, to look out for, thanks to City County Councilor Jared Evans, we have the opportunity and we'll start seeing some development, some improvements happening on Girls School Road all the way from Perimeter Road up to basically 21st Street. So all the way just past where the B&O will go underneath Girls School up to where Chapel Rock Community Church and the West Side Sports Park, Wayne Sports Park is up there. So you're not only going to see improvements in the roadway from Perimeter Road all the way up to 21st, but you're also going to see a multi-use pathway that will go from Perimeter Road up to 21st, including right here in front of Ben Davis High School, which will help our students who are walking to and from school to be able to do so without going through the grass, without getting their feet wet. So some exciting work coming, and I think that's going to start probably next spring. So keep your eye out for some additional construction that's going to be happening along Girls School Road right here in front of Ben Davis High School and all the way down to Perimeter.
Dr. Butts joining us here on Voice of the West Side. I know we're a little over, but, you know, that always happened on School Talk.
So. People can fast forward. They can turn. That's one of the great things about Sunday morning. Are we rebroadcasting on Sunday?
Sunday afternoon at 2.
There you go. If you don't want to hear portions of this, you can fast forward it. Otherwise, you've got all the time in the world.
And you could listen to it on podcasts. We'll be up here in just a minute. That's one thing we didn't get a chance to talk about was your podcast, Briefings with Butch, Briefings with Butts, which just did post at 8 o'clock this
morning. Excellent. Thank you for that. And by the way, kudos to you, Mr. Easter, for editing that each and every week. We try to have as few of mess ups as we possibly can, and certainly appreciate you making us sound good.
You make it very easy. We don't have too many. I thought about keeping a mega mix of all the mess ups and sending that to you at the end of the
year.
I'll
have to make sure I'm watching what I do when I mess up. So.
I haven't done that though. One final thing that I did want to hit, because I know it's in the media right now, are the new diploma requirements. Yeah. That's been something that's been talked about. And there are opinions all over the place.
If
you could give us a little update on that.
Yeah, you know, what's really interesting. So obviously the presidents of Purdue and IU came out just this week against the GPS Plus and saying that it doesn't meet the entrance requirements or the admission requirements for those two institutions. And I think that was part of the concern when the initial rollout came. You know, the intent of GPS and GPS Plus are, I think, well-intended. I think there's some great merit to some of the proposals that have come out. And I've been fortunate to be engaged in some conversations with the Department of Education, with Dr. Jenner, and with members of the CEMET's iLab group, thanks to the Fairbanks Foundation and Ascend, which has really been looking at this whole apprenticeship work-based learning model. And we currently have about 26 students in the MSD of Wayne Township who are participating in that apprenticeship model, and another 100 that are involved with workplace learning, primarily through Area 31. I had the pleasure, through the CEMET's iLab group and a grant from the Fairbanks Foundation, to travel with the banking and insurance industry to Switzerland in March and to really see this firsthand. Switzerland has an amazing model, something that would take us decades to get to. So we're not trying to emulate that. But I do believe that there are some opportunities, and we've seen it again with our own students, where apprenticeships are great opportunities for students who want to have those workplace learning experiences, who want to be embedded in a job, and they're employees. They're not going in and volunteering for, you know, a few hours a day. They're employees of the organization. And what we have found through this apprenticeship model is, in many cases, that institution that they're working for helps to offset their tuition beyond high school. So they're going on, they're getting post-secondary education, whether it be you know, through learning towards a certification or going towards a four-year baccalaureate degree, and then they're guaranteed a job to come back. So there's some great merit, some great opportunity. There's going to have to be some shifts both on business and education side. But I think where people are most concerned right now is this loss of academic and technical honors diplomas and the concern that some classes will no longer be required and may go away. They may not exist anymore. And I know that's been a concern raised by some people. And obviously everyone who is in the profession of teaching believes very strongly that their subject area, their content area is critically important to the overall well-being and education of our students. So we want to make sure that we are honoring that and that we are truly evaluating where each of those areas of content, those areas of learning fit into a student's schedule while still giving them opportunities to either go on to a post-secondary opportunity, two-year, four-year, a technical college, some kind of certification program, or to go directly into the workforce. And you know, as I've spoken to my colleagues around the state, the misnomer that we're trying to push people into jobs that are low paying and, you know, low wage, low demand jobs is not at all what the intent of this proposal was. Regardless of how people feel about the current state of that, that was never the intent. It was to push students towards opportunities that are high wage, high demand. And in the conversations we're having with our employers and with our partners around the state, we are also talking about not only the initial employment, the initial opportunity for students, but also the opportunities for growth. So if we have a student who's starting out in a position that may pay $25, $30 an hour, what is next? What is that job? What does that employer, what does that profession have that allows a student to look towards the future so that that is just a starting point and not somewhere that they're going to get pigeonholed into? Certainly, we're going to see a lot of changes still happening. There's a lot of discussion happening as a result of the announcement this week with the Purdue and IU presidents both saying that this is not going to work. And so we will see some additional iterations. I think Dr. Jenner put out this morning thousands and thousands of comments that have come through. Certainly, we've seen lots of public comment at the State Board of Education meeting. So people are actively engaged in this, and we will see some changes before the rule is made. And let's not forget, we have some important elections coming up here in November, both at the federal and the state level, that could also change the trajectory of all these discussions. And then a long session coming up starting in January with our General Assembly that we could still see some changes to the requirements of the diploma happening out of our state house.
Well, lots of information there, and it's something to definitely watch if you're interested in public education as this rule gets made later on. And
as I
see
saw,
where it goes.
As I saw on a whiteboard out this door here yesterday when I was walking through, the only thing constant is change.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so true. That is so true. Well, Dr. Butts, that's it. That's
Mr. Easter, my pleasure. I'm sorry that we went over.
We always go over.
You know what? I can talk. So this is lots of information. Certainly half an hour is a challenge to get it all in, but look forward to the opportunity to come back maybe in a little while. You've got a lot more people to bring on, but anytime that I could be, you know, a benefit to the show, I look forward to it.
Well, we start with the superintendent. We'll have the principal of Ben Davis High School next week. Ms. Sandra Squire will be our guest.
Much better interview. Much better interview.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Make sure you check out Briefings with Butts if you're interested in that. It's about a 10-minute podcast.
Just about 10 minutes. Mr. Bill Gilmartin is our featured guest this week. He's our longest-serving certified employee. 45 years here at Ben Davis High School and the first teacher in the history of Ben Davis to receive the Senior Choice Award 30 times. And I know that that's not his last time. He will be getting many more of those to come.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, yep. I think you'll recognize how we take this out.
I got to hit the legal ID.
No, you don't. Just go
ahead. Never mind then.
There you go. To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their community. What you give out is what you're going to be giving back. And thank you once again for joining us here on Voices of the West Side. Just remember, students, it's okay to be a copycat. Just copy the right cat. If you have an idea about this show, you can reach us on X or Twitter at West Side Voice. And you can call us at 317-988-7122. Or you can drop me an email at john.easter@wayne.k12.in.us. Views expressed on Voices of the West Side are the views Not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, but, you know, the superintendent's here, so. But they're not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township,
kind
the Davis High School,
kind
or, or WBDG. They're the views of us and our guests. That's all for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Join us next week with Miss Sandy Squire, the principal of Ben Davis High School, on Voices of the West Side. Have a great weekend.